At T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, the Golden Knights host the Anaheim Ducks in Game 82. I'm Dan Duva with Golden Knights head coach Bruce Cassidy. Bruce, it's Game 82. How does that sound?
Well, we're here at last, and we're moving on. That's the good news. Let's try to finish it with a positive result and a well-played game.
How does it feel with just the nature of things? You don't know your opponent yet, but you know you're in. You still have a game to play here, too.
Yeah, listen, we're going to focus on that. Even if we knew our opponent, I don't think we'd be tailoring our game to that. We're going to play to win, play the right way. And then tomorrow we'll relax as a team in terms of what we're going to do. The coaches will get to work on who we're going to play, start digging in on some preparation. We've already begun some of that because we knew, had an idea of Edmonton, Dallas, perhaps Vancouver. That's been scratched after last night. So we know it's one of two teams. So we've gotten a little bit of head start, but the players shouldn't be thinking about that. They should be focused on what's in front of them, and that's Anaheim.
You, of course, have a busy schedule coaching an NHL team, but how much NHL hockey do you get to watch? Do you like to watch?
I'm a fan of the game, so it depends. You know, here I tend to watch, well, I shouldn't say more on the road, but I'm more inclined to go to watch it on the road right away. Here it's kids have activities, right? They're golfing, they're playing baseball. Cole had hockey practice last night, so I'm out there. But one thing about Henderson is they have lots of games on TV. So if Cole's not in the middle of a drill, I'll sneak a peek at the game. Last night happened to be Toronto was on in Tampa. But so just wondering, hey, is Austin Matthews going to get a seventh? Stuff like that. I mean, as I said, I enjoy that part of it, being a fan. But at the end of the day, I do spend a lot of time watching hockey. It's what I do. And as I said, not dissecting it all the time either, just watching it because I enjoy it.
Is it hard to turn off that coach's switch to be looking at X's and O's or things as you're just trying to watch it?
I can. I think things will jump out. I'll see something maybe. You know, listen, most teams play. There's not only so many ways you can play the game. It's so fast. You can't stop every 2 seconds either. And we do that to pre-scout. We stop a lot of clips, look at. But when it's on live, you're just watching it. And certainly sometimes things will jump out like, wow, how did that guy have so much time? Or how can they not get inside tonight at all? What are they doing? Stuff like that. But I'm more just watching for good plays, like everyone else, see what did good hockey.
And so many people watch for their favorite team, but also for the game's stars. You mentioned a couple of the stars with milestone hunts. Matthews comes up short of hitting 70, but still 69. Amazing. Kucherov hits 100 assists. McDavid had hit that number the other day, but only three other guys in history. What impresses you about some of these stars of today's NHL and where they stack up with some of the stars that you've seen in your life?
Well, it's a different era, right? So, you know, different styles of play, but they're all obviously elite players and driven, very driven individuals. I think that's the one thing that's the common. You don't get to those levels without being ready to go every night and you know, very competitive people, right? So I think Gretzky had a different talent level than Matthews, and so does Kucherov versus Gordie Howe and Phil Esposito, and you can go all the way back, Lafleur, so Mario Lemieux. I mean, they all had their skill sets. Common denominator is usually, like I said, competitiveness, high hockey IQ. And the composure to be difference makers.
Just one more big picture question. What do you think of the way that the sport as a whole is trending?
Well, I like where it's going. I think you're seeing a lot of team speed, which everyone likes, but we haven't lost physicality. It's still a big part of the game, and I think people watch hockey because they don't want to see guys just flying. Well, listen, I don't think most hockey people don't want to see guys just flying up the ice untouched all night and seeing 12-10 hockey games. I don't think you'd like that. I think they like to see good goaltending. I think they like to see a certain amount of the physicality or checking part of the game where players have to work, because that's what we just talked about. This is what separates Gretzky from, he wasn't flying up and down the ice. He was getting up and down the ice, but his competitiveness, hockey IQ, ability to play in traffic, it's what separates him. So for a hockey guy that's been involved in my whole life, you have a ton of respect for that. There's a lot of good skaters that can outskate elite, you know, some of the better players, but they never made it because they didn't have the will to try to beat a guy one-on-one. And not every player can be that guy. So it's like being a fan of defense in football, the cornerbacks, right? They got to cover these elite. So that's like defensive defensemen. They take a lot of pride in what they're doing to keep the puck out of the net. And I have a lot of respect for that part of the game. So I like to see that. So I like the fact that offense is trending. Younger players are more and more skilled coming into the league. Yet it's not automatic that skill is going to take over because they've got to be good defenders. And that, to me, is sport, right? It's not – there's the reason why it's called offense and defense, and I like to see the battle of both sides.
You know, not everybody is going to make an impact on hockey like, say, Wayne Gretzky, but people leave marks in one way, shape, or form. What do you think your fingerprints on this game look like, or would you like them to look like?
Well, that's a good question. I think I wanted them to leave him as a player, but that didn't happen. Certainly not in pro. So then, and I wanted to leave as an offensive defenseman. So I was always kind of watching the Doug Wilsons and the Bobby Orrs and Podvan, guys that were putting up numbers and power play guys. And all those three guys were, you know, full both sides of the puck players, which I always valued. But as a coach, I just like to leave teams that played as teams and won. It wasn't, you know, three or four individuals winning. It was team. It was culture, identity. And I'd like people to say, hey, this, I think of myself as, hey, this is the way his teams played. That's the way they played. And they were, you know, successful that way more often than not. And that's kind of what I'd like to leave. And I'd like to leave for the individual players the when they leave the game. So, yeah, I enjoyed coming to the rink every day. I enjoyed playing on his teams. Enjoyed playing his style of play, and some of them will go on to be coaches, and you hope a few of them maybe reach out to you later on and say, hey, how'd you deal with this? That's when you know you've built a pretty good bond with a player.
Some are already coaching. It just might not be at the pro level. It might be their younger kids. We'll save that conversation for another time. How about, just speaking of practice, you practice once a year at T-Mobile Arena. It's picture day. What was that like yesterday?
It was a busy day. We had a lot of, you know, typically a picture day is usually your team and, maybe the coaches and the GM, but I think they've done it well here in Vegas. They've included everybody. So there's a number of different pitchers. Might take a little longer, but I think it's great memories for the staff. And when I mean the staff, I mean media, TV, front office, ticket sales, marketing, all that. There's one big picture, and I think it's kind of cool. Even Maverick got in there,
yeah.
So you know, good for him.
Yeah. And then, of course, a practice on the ice. Do you think now, I mean, it's obviously for you, it's been 2 years, so it's normal. The team always has its morning skate at City National Arena when home and never at T-Mobile Arena. A lot of teams, they practice, they have their morning skates at their game arena. Now that it's been 2 years, how does that affect things or not affect things?
I think it's different. I think we've play well enough there. I think if your team didn't play well at home, you'd probably want to start thinking about skating down there more often to get more comfortable. We do play well at home, but I see the argument, both sides. But then you have a nice practice facility, you might as well use it, right? And it's a little bit easier to get here for most of the players. They're closer, so whatever makes it more convenient for them to in their daily routine, because they are coming to the rink in the morning and going back at night to T-Mobile. So if you're all the way down there twice a day in traffic, that, you know, can have some wear and tear on you in terms of how your day is structured. And the more rest you can get, and the, you know, quicker you can get in and out of here and sort of, like I said, prepare for the game, the easier it is. So being closer certainly has its benefits here.
As the Knights come off the victory against Chicago, fans will be thinking about the Ducks here today. And I wonder what the coach is thinking about. I know some fans in the building will be thinking about, is Jonathan Marchessault going to catch William Karlsson or even go ahead of him in that goals record? 43 is the number Karlsson set back in 2018. That may be among them. But what are some of the things on the coach's mind today?
Not that. I'll be perfectly honest. That's the farthest thing from my mind.
That's for the fans.
Two great players for us. So yeah. Whoever has it gets it, great. I cheer for Marshy just to have a good year because he plays hard for us every night, and I cheer for Carly. So that won't be it for us. Again, it's play a solid game, get 2 points, avoid injury this time of year. You're always thinking about that a little bit. The last thing you need is a freak injury on the last day of the year. And hopefully people's games that are need to be sharp are finish on a positive note. And Aiden Hill's one of those guys. You know, he's not in the lineup every night like a regular player, so he's rotating lately, missed some time with injury, so he'd be, you know, be good for him to feel good about his most recent start going into the playoffs. I think he'll have confidence no matter what after the run he had last year, but that's one. And then a couple guys that maybe have been out for a while that are getting in. You hope that, you know, they feel good about their game. And Hurdle hasn't played a lot for us. Each game he seems to, you can see it, he's progressively getting better. So hopefully he has another strong finish for him, so he feels a little more comfortable as well.
Well, Bruce, thank you for this as always. And we've done this 82 times in the regular season. Thank you for all of that. Looking forward to many more here in the spring.
Yeah, and a big shout out, thanks, Dan, to our, and also to our fan base for all their support. I think we're going to acknowledge that tonight. So wouldn't be here without them.
That's Bruce Cassidy. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.